Welcome back to Diamond Dingers, a baseball podcast. Like with the American League previews, we recorded all of our National League previews into one episode, but it ended up being way too long. So, like the American League, splitting everything up division by division. And in this episode, we're going over the NL East.
We're going to start out in the NL East with the Atlanta Braves. Added to the team this offseason, we saw Sean Murphy, Nick Anderson, Jordan Luplo, Joe Jimenez, Sam Hilliard, Colby Allard, and Lucas Litke. Leaving the team was William Contreras, Dansby Swanson, Kenley Jansen, Adam Duvall, Robbie Grossman, Jake Odorizzi, Kyle Muller, and Manny Pena. I think they made some significant moves. They also lost a few key players that were in the lineup this last season. Miller, what are your thoughts on the moves that these Braves took this offseason? Is it enough to get them back into the World Series?
Well, this is a fascinating division, first and foremost. I mean, I like Sean Murphy a lot. It gives them, I think, the best catcher duo in the league with him and Travis d'Arnaud. Nick Anderson, if he's healthy, is a good addition. Jordan Luplo, you know, will help fill in whatever they're going to do in left field. I think their additions were good, but I think this is already a really good team. This is already a 95-ish win team, even, you know, without William Contreras or Dansby Swanson. Swanson had a great year last year. There's no doubt about that. His defense, he won a gold glove for a reason. He was 100th percentile in outs above average. But, you know, his hitting was, you know, it was all right. It was okay. But he was him stepping up was huge for them last year, and, you know, they decided to move on. And they're usually pretty good about trying to extend people that they like. I don't know what's up with him and Freddie Freeman, why they didn't want to hand over money, but that's their decision and not anyone else's. It's going to be tough because shortstop's going to be interesting. Vaughn Grissom, Orlando Arcia, do either of those guys replace the defense? They have some questions. They're not a perfect team, but they're pretty dang good. I would not be surprised if they're back in the championship series after this season. So what do you kind of think about them? You know, how do they look to you?
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously losing Dansby Swanson hurts. I think he was a key piece. But ultimately, you still have a lineup that does it top to bottom here. I mean, I think you're going to see some platoon, potentially the catcher between Travis d'Arnaud and Sean Murphy. But this is a lineup that can hit, and they play good defense. I mean, you got Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Murphy, Harris, Albies, Ozuna, Rosario, Grissom, with, you know, d'Arnaud and Arcia and Luplo and Hilliard on the bench. I mean, you got the top three players in the lineup are projected to hit 30 or more homers in the season. That's probably one of the first that we've seen. So a lineup that can hit like that, and they're also going to hit for average, it's a lineup to be feared. I'm curious where the starting rotation comes out this year. They got four guys that can do it, but I don't see a lot of depth behind those guys.
There is some depth. I think, you know, Mike Soroka, they're banking on him being healthy, but at this point, with two different Achilles injuries and him having something flare up, I believe this spring, hard to rely on that. Ian Anderson was he was rough last year. He got sent down. Yosker Hanoa, same deal. Colby Allard has been inconsistent for Texas. Bryce Elder was a guy who came and gave him a couple good starts at the end of the year, but those starts were against mostly the Marlins and Nationals. You know, they're five, Fried, Morton, Strider, Wright. That's great. That's one of the best rotations in baseball. But like you said, just finding that fifth starter is going to be key for them. I think they have some depth, but they don't quite know what they're going to get out of that depth just yet.
Yeah, I mean, does Spencer Strider run back what he did last year? Because he was impressive last year. I mean, he's a three-pitch starting pitcher, and those three pitches are to be feared, man. I mean, he's nasty with it. And he deals. He throws some gas. So, yeah, it's an interesting starting rotation and an interesting lineup. I mean, what do you think about their lineup?
How can you not love Ronald Acuna, Matt Olson, Austin Riley, Michael Harris, Ozzie Albies, and Sean Murphy? I mean, that's probably, you know, a top three lineup in baseball too. That's just kind of the thing with this team, man, is everything about them, even with their holes, it just seems like top three overall in the league. I mean, their bullpen, Raisel Iglesias, AJ Minter, Joe Jimenez, Colin McHugh, Nick Anderson, Dylan Lee, Kirby Yates, Lucas Litke. Man, that is a good bullpen. That's the best bullpen, I think, in baseball right there. Just so much talent, so much experience. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. Also, we'll talk about the Mets, but, you know, I think they're a step above both of those teams, just barely, but there's a lot to like with Atlanta.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think they're going to come in and they're going to do it day in and day out. I really think they're going to be feared. They have been for the past few seasons. I don't think anything's changing. I think they're here to stay for a while. And plus, they got a lot of this young talent locked up for a good amount of time. So, yeah, losing Dansby Swanson hurts at shortstop. But, I mean, I think Grissom and Arcia are good enough to platoon shortstop. I think they have projected Grissom to get most of the starts there. I mean, they're looking at 455 plate appearances from the shortstop position. So, they're good. I mean, top to bottom, 1-9, they're going to do it. So,
touch on their win total, what we think about the over-under there. 94.5 games. You got the over, you got the under. I think this is a tough one, though, because, you know, they seem right at that 94-95 win. Like, it's tough to go either way, really.
Yeah, I mean, last year, 101 wins. They were tied with the Mets. They're at the top of the division. And it's a tough division, too. I mean, the Mets and the Phillies also got better. I think it's good this year because you're playing all 30 teams. So they could see, this is one of those teams that could see a benefit from not playing just the NL East 19 times each. But, yeah, I mean, if we're looking at a 94.5 to run it back what they had last year, I mean, they had some key losses. I think Kenley Jansen's a big loss out of the bullpen. I think they have enough guys to do it, but is there a clear closing pitcher that's in the bullpen right now?
Iglesias, I think. And he's good. I believe he's their projected closer. Yes. Projected for 30 saves this year.
Yeah, so I think there's some key losses. I have a hard time going over here, but I do like that they're facing more of the league. I'm going to go over, but barely. I think they're sitting at 96 wins.
Yeah. There's not much to disagree with there. I have the over. I have them at like 95 wins. They're a good team. I think they're the best team in the NL, a very good NL East. And again, with them last year, they lost Freddie Freeman and everyone kind of went, ah, man, you know, how can they lose that guy? And then they traded for Matt Olson, and Matt Olson was fine. Didn't have the batting average that Freddie Freeman does, but provided just as much power and just as good of defense. So, you know, this is one of those organizations that I think they'll figure it out at shortstop. Maybe they make a trade midseason. I don't know. But Ron Grissom put in a lot of work this offseason to get better at shortstop. So we'll see what happens there. But I also have the over.
Yeah, I think they're a good team, and they're going to be around for a while. I think, you know, third best record in baseball last year. We'll tied for third behind the Dodgers and the Astros. So. Yeah, I like this team. I think they're going to do it. So we'll see where they end up in the postseason, but I think they're definitely playing in November.
Also, real quick, just looking at like their contracts, they have Ronald Acuna locked up at about $17 million a season until 2028. That's crazy. Like how this team locks up young talent. I know, dude. They lock up these young players just forever. And they have a top 10 payroll, but their payroll is cheaper than the Los Angeles Angels. That's crazy. Next up, we have a team that's always fun to do, the Miami Marlins. Their additions this offseason, they traded for Luis Arraez. They got Yuli Gurriel, Jose Iglesias, Gene Segura, Johnny Cueto, Devin Smeltzer, Matt Barnes, Jacob Amaya, JT Chargois, AJ Puk from the A's. They lost Pablo Lopez, Miguel Rojas, Richard Blyer, J.J. Bleda, and Brian Anderson. Interesting offseason for Miami, definitely. Juby, what do you think about what they did?
Yeah, they made some interesting moves. I mean, I like Luis Arraez, obviously, the batting title from last year. I think he's a good add. Losing Miguel Rojas, I think, you know, it's a win probably getting Arraez in there. I think they got Wendell penciled in currently for shortstop with Jazz jumping out to the outfield. And it's going to be interesting to see Jazz in center and see how he plays. You know, we've seen some other players in the past struggle with that transition at first. So I think Jazz has a lot of talent, and I think he'll handle it well. But I think we can expect some better things to come from this Miami team here this year.
Their lineup creation is really interesting. They basically, at third, short, and second, all have second basemen. You know, Wendell is not a natural shortstop. He can play there. He's a solid defender. But I have always thought that he's been better at third or second. Gene Segura, you know, he was a shortstop for most of his career. Now he was a second baseman. Now he's a third baseman. So I don't really know. I mean, their lineup construction is odd. The one thing I think we can both agree on, they need Jorge Soler and Avisail Garcia to be much better this season. Those two guys got handed big contracts last offseason. They did not deliver, whether it was injury or inconsistency. Those guys have to perform if this team is going to win anything this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, jumping over to the rotation too, the rotation's got to perform. Sandy Alcantara is, you know, arguably the best pitcher in baseball at this point. When he's on the mound, he's dominant, but he's also projected to pitch 216 innings. You know, you think about like a Jacob DeGrom, that guy's dominant like Sandy Alcantara, but he's not projected to be at 216 innings pitched. That's remarkable. No. And so if he does that, it's a great ace to have up your sleeve, but the rotation behind him is going to be a little bit more of a stretch. I mean, Edward Cabrera, he's still young, has plenty of time to learn. I think Trevor Rogers, you know, similar boat, pretty similar in age to Edward Cabrera. Those guys are going to come up and do it. And Johnny Cueto, can he run it back? He had a little bit of a comeback year last year. Can he do it again this year? I think there's more in the tank, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, Cueto got paid. I mean, $8.5 million for someone who's going to be, I believe, close to 38 by the time the season ends. Big deal for him. Got lit up a little bit in the WBC here just recently. Their bullpen is the big question mark. I think their lineup is a question mark too, but the bullpen even more so. You don't question a rotation that has the reigning Cy Young in it. But Dylan Floro, Tanner Scott, Matt Barnes, AJ Puck, JT Chargoa, Stephen Oker, Tommy Nansen, Huascar Brazoban, which is an awesome name. I love that name. If I could legally change my first name to Brazoban, I think I would. Yeah, I mean, that bullpen, there's, you look at them and it's like one guy has 12 saves projected, one guy has, and then three guys have seven. So they don't, they're going to kind of be a, you know, closer by committee type of deal. Tanner Scott was okay, but he's a bit wild and walks a lot of players. So that's, I think, their question mark is their bullpen. That's what's probably going to keep them down this year, is they don't really have a dominant arm in there.
Yeah, I mean, I like the addition of AJ Puck, but it's, you know, you're adding a B-tier, C-tier arm to a bullpen that's already in the lower end of the major leagues. So I'm also interested to see Max Meyer, you know, one of the top prospects coming up. He looks like he got a little bit of service time last year. He's at, you know, 24 years old, about the age where Edward Cabrera and Trevor Rogers are. You know, he's just a year behind him. So do they give him any sort of a run this year?
Well, probably not, as he had Tommy John late last year. So I'm guessing he's probably done. He probably won't play in 23. But yeah, he's one of the top pitching prospects in baseball when healthy. That's really kind of the story of this team. Is like, we got Edward Cabrera, we got Jesus Luzardo, we got Trevor Rogers. Like, we have all these young pitchers that we're going to count on to give us innings. Can we consistently rely on them? And then the question also is, you know, who do they have behind those guys? Braxton Garrett, Sixto Sanchez, Yuri Perez, Devin Smeltzer. I mean, that's decent. There's some potential back there. I thought Garrett looked good when he pitched last year. And Yuri Perez is arguably, outside of Grayson Rodriguez, the best pitching prospect in baseball. So it's going to be really fascinating to see. They've always, it seems like for the last two, 3 years, we've been talking about, hey, they have a lot of talent and depth in their coming up in their pitching prospect system. It's here now, and it's time for those guys to deliver. They traded away a veteran in Lopez so those guys could get the innings. See where it takes them.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you got some young talent coming up on the pitching end, but if you're looking at the lineup, outside of Jazz Chisholm and, you know, Jesus Sanchez and Arias, this team is pretty old, and they have a lot of MLB service time between the players. arguably, you know, some of the most, and they aren't even a top competitor. So it's interesting, you know, seeing a lot of the older guys, and do they come back and do they do it? I mean, they have proven that they can be MLB players if they're up here for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. So I'm curious to see where this lineup ends up. It's an interesting configuration, but
yeah,
it's a tough division.
Absolutely. And then I think the biggest question mark, like you mentioned earlier, is going to be Jazz Chisholm. I mean, he's the MLB The Show cover athlete this year. He has to be an absolute superstar for them to do anything this season. And part of that means staying healthy. He's kind of struggled with that. But I do think he's a good enough athlete that he should be fine in center field.
And, you know, I think we mentioned, you know, Yuli Gurriel and Jose Iglesias are non-roster invites. I don't see a world where these guys don't make the opening day roster, maybe not starting lineup, but I think they're on the roster come the season.
I would agree. They, I mean, guys like that with vet, I mean, Jose Iglesias might be the best shortstop they have, really. I mean, he's probably the only natural shortstop they have. Real quick on Jazz Chisholm, just because I was curious, I looked up his some of his metrics from last year. Sprint speed is 94th percentile. We all knew that. Arm strength is 23rd percentile. So it looks like he's probably going to be more of like a run and field type of a center fielder than a I'm going to throw people out at third type of center fielder. But let's hop into the, you know, the win total. Vegas has it at 76.5 wins. What's your pick there?
Yeah, I mean, they came in at 69 wins last year, 69 and 93 on the season. I think they got better overall. You know, there's some age that was added. There's some question marks. I think they're better than last year, but I don't think they're quite up to a 76 win team. I think I have them splitting the gap between last year and where their projection is at, or where their Vegas over-under's at. So I'm going to have to take the under here.
Yeah, I'm going to agree on the under. I mean, I think we've been talking about the Marlins for years now and going, well, they have talent. They have potential. They're projected to win 80 games this year by Fangraphs. I don't see that. I see like a 74, 75 win team. Also, being in their division, I know that they'll play teams less, but that's still a really tough division. And I think this is probably like a 21st team in terms of overall in the league. So I like their additions, but I don't quite know if it was enough to push them to that next level. Now, granted, if their rotation takes the next step, that could change. But this lineup just doesn't give me a ton of confidence.
Yeah, no, I agree. It'll be an interesting year to see what the Miami Marlins produce, but moving on to the next AL East team here, the New York Mets. Powerhouse in recent years. They've kind of gone all in on paying for the top talent. I mean, they're at the number one most expensive payroll in baseball. So this year, they added Justin Verlander to a big contract. Jose Quintana, Brooks Raley, Eliezer Hernandez, Brandon Nimmo re-signed. They re-signed Edwin Diaz, and unfortunate news about him in the World Baseball Classic. It's heartbreaking to see, but they also added Cody Senga, probably butchered that, but Tommy Pham, Danny Mendick, David Robertson, and Omar Narvaez. Losing this year, they lost DeGrom to Texas. It's a big loss. Taijuan Walker, Chris Bassett, Seth Lugo, Trevor May, Dom Smith, Micah Givens, Joely Rodriguez, Tyler Naquin, and James McCann. So, significant amount of moves for the Mets this offseason, both, you know, going out and coming in. What are your thoughts on the additions? Is it enough to get them over the hump? Have they been able to buy themselves a title?
Man, I mean, you'd kind of hope with how big, I mean, their total AAV tax payroll this year is $350 million. That is, I believe, close to $100 million over the AAV threshold, which is just, it's just nuts. It's insane how much they're spending trying to win. And I think it's in kind of in Mets fashion, you know, they pay Edwin Diaz, they give him the biggest reliever contract in history, and then he blows out his freaking knee. And that was a terrible thing to watch because, you know, Puerto Rico was so excited, and then they were just down in the dumps. And, you know, some people have said, like, that's on the WBC, this is stupid. We can get into that another time maybe, but that's just freak injury. It's baseball. Stuff happens in sports like that. I think the thing that you know gives me a little hesitation with the Mets is, one, they don't have that closer at the back end of their bullpen, and there's nobody even close to Diaz. Yes, they added Justin Verlander. Yeah, they still have Max Scherzer. They lost DeGrom, but the thing with the Mets is they've had DeGrom for years now. They know exactly what they were getting from him. They knew exactly what they were going to get moving forward, I think, and they just went, you know, we're going to go with an ancient pitcher in Justin Verlander anyways. And maybe that'll work out. I think it probably will. Verlander's doesn't seem to be falling off at all. But with guys like that have some serious age, they're being paid $43 million a year. You're banking a lot on two older arms that have been through a lot. So their lineup also pretty much unchanged from last year. And that was a lineup that at times was really good, but at other times, especially in the wild card, really let them down. So,
yeah, I mean, you bring in Omar Narvaez, which may be a stopgap for Francisco Alvarez, who's coming in. You know, their top prospect, catching prospect. And then they brought in Tommy Pham in the offseason. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting lineup to see. I think they unchanged and they were in the contention last year. Going back to the starting rotation, I mean, with Senga coming over from Japan this year, that's always a question mark. It's a player that hasn't played in the league before. And granted, pitchers tend to do better coming over from Japan than hitters do, but it's still a question mark. And until he pitches some MLB games, you don't really know exactly what you're going to get out of a guy like that.
Question, though, have you seen him in, like, spring training at all? Have you seen anything that he's thrown?
A little bit. And from what I have, he's pretty nasty.
Dude, that ghost fork that he has is, woo, that thing moves. That thing is insane. So, yeah, I mean, they put a lot of money into Senga. They also put a lot of decent chunk of money into Jose Quintana, and he's hurt. So their rotation at this point, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, Kodai Senga, Carlos Carrasco, David Peterson. The unfortunate part about that is the only two that I don't think have question marks, and even they have small question marks, are your top two. And Justin Verlander is 40 years old, and Max Scherzer is almost 39, which is crazy. Yeah, and then the starting pitching depth, I mean, you know, I think they're hopeful that someone like, you know, Tyler Megill, Joey Lucchesi, Elysio Hernandez, maybe one of those guys can give them some innings. But they're one more injury away, I think, in their rotation from, crap, we don't have a ton of depth. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. And again, like I said, with this bullpen, you can get into that.
Yeah, I mean, Edwin Diaz is arguably the best closer in the game currently. And so losing him, it's a huge hit. I mean, they still have some guys that can wheel and deal from the back end of the bullpen, but nobody as locked down as what Edwin Diaz has provided recently. So I think that puts more pressure on the lineup, though. I think you're going to have to give your starting pitchers some more cushion so your bullpen has a little more room to work in the latter half of the game. But, you know, jumping into the lineup, top to bottom here, they're projecting Brandon Nimmo, Starling Marte, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Daniel Vogelback, Mark Canha, Eduardo Escobar, Omar Narvaez, with Darren Ruff, Luis Guillorme, and Tommy Pham on the bench. So it's not a lineup, when I look at it from distance, that blows me away. I think I like their top five. But when you're getting into the 6-9 batters, I'm not blown away. I mean, if Eduardo Escobar has a good turnaround year, I think it was August last year that he had a great month. If he can repeat that and try to do something more like that throughout the whole season, I think that changes the outlook of this lineup a lot.
Yeah, he hit for the cycle last year, and people forget that. Nah, I mean, look, Lindor's a star. Nimmo was really good. Pete Alonso gives you a ton of power. Jeff McNeil was the batting champion in the NL last year. Like, the pieces are there. You just have to hope that they can put it together better, because they kind of faltered down the stretch and they weren't great in the wild card and they didn't hit with runners in scoring positions. So the question is going to become, I think, do they try to add to this? Which, they're the Mets. I mean, if they're going to be aggressive and go for it, they might just go for another hitter. You never know with this team now, with Steve Cohen at the helm. They could do whatever they want to do, because he does not seem to care about the cost. He just wants a title. They're still going to be a really good team. But again, that Diaz loss just, it kind of pulls me back a little bit, where otherwise I was like, the Mets are, they could be the best team in the NL, period.
Yeah, they're right up there. But they won 101 games last year. And it's really, how much of a role did Edwin Diaz play in locking down some of those games? So, I mean, I think that leads us into the over-unders here. So Vegas has them projected at 94.5 games. Last year, like we just mentioned, they were at 101 games. What are your thoughts? Do you think that they can, you know, repeat the 101 win season, or is, you know, loss of some of these, you know, like player like Edwin Diaz big enough to bring them out of that?
Real quick, Edwin Diaz was a 3-WAR F-WAR closer last year. And if you know anything about war when it comes to relief pitchers, that is an astronomically high number. Most relievers, they hover around one war if they're really good. He was worth 3 wins on the season. That's how good he was. And they're not going to get that. So it's tough. 94.5 wins. And this is before Diaz got injured, by the way. I'm going to go under, but just barely. I think it's like 94, 93. I think with them having to play a little more, I think that's going to hurt them a little bit. And there's question marks with this team that, you know, when you have question marks, then you have an elite closer. Doesn't really matter. Like if it's a 5-4, you know, going to the ninth, he's going to lock it down. You're done. There's a win. So they don't have that. And that makes me hesitant. So what do you think?
So where's your final pick at? Are you over or under this team?
I'm under on this team. Just barely.
Yeah, I think I follow suit there. It's crazy. I mean, yeah, that's, you know, six wins compared to what they were at last year, but, and I know DeGrom didn't pitch a whole lot for them last year, but I don't know. It's hard to figure they're going to run it back. And, you know, Max Scherzer pitched a full year last year and was healthy. If him and Verlander are both healthy this whole year, I think I'll be a little bit surprised. So because of that, I'm going the under as well.
Well, there we go. Next up, the Philadelphia Phillies, the reigning NL champions. They had quite the offseason. They're pushing. Their additions, Trey Turner, $300 million contract, Taijuan Walker, Gregory Soto, Craig Kimbrell, Matt Strom, Josh Harrison, and Eric Ullman, they got in a trade with the Cubs. The subtractions, Zach Eflin, Gene Segura, Noah Syndergaard, David Robertson, Kyle Gibson, Brad Hand. Whew. I mean, dude, talk about an impressive offseason for this team. I think they had probably a top 5 offseason in all of baseball. What do you think?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I think the ads are outweigh the losses here. You know, I think they lost some key players in Eflin and Segura. I think Robertson was a solid pitcher for him last year, but like Trey Turner, man, he is just a dude. Like, he hit for the batting title a few years ago, and he's just the speed on the base paths with the bigger bases. And then you're going to see some more stolen bases watching them be a little more aggressive. Gregory Soto's nasty coming out of the pen. Craig Kimbrell, does he have a bounce back year? Matt Strom, I think he's pretty nasty with it. Does he have a good year coming out of the pen? I like the team. I think the additions help lift this team. You know, I think they finished third, or they did finish third last year in the NL East. I think they're more of a competitor for the top seed now. They were at 87 wins last year, you know, so 14 wins behind the Mets and the Braves. I think they close that gap a lot.
I would agree. And I think that, you know, you take a look at, like, let's dive into their lineup real quick. Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Rhys Hoskins, JT Realmuto, Nick Castellanos, Derek Hall at the DH, Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott, and Brandon Marsh. That's without Bryce Harper, who will supposedly not play the field this year. He's just going to DH when he comes back from Tommy John. But what's he projected at real quick? It's unknown when he's going to return, but for a hitter, a Tommy John isn't as bad. So that's a stacked lineup. And then the rotation, Nola, Wheeler, Walker, Suarez, and then Bailey Falter at the 5. Really, the question is kind of the 5. Falter was fine last year. They really wanted, I think, Andrew Painter, who was 19 and a rookie. They really wanted him to take that spot, but he got hurt this spring. Nola and Wheeler are as good of a 1-2 as you can have in baseball. That's up there. And then their bullpen is just loaded with guys that have nasty stuff.
Yeah, and when you get to the postseason, having the 1-2 punch is huge. And then we saw that this last year. And that's a huge part of why the Phillies made it to the World Series and were competitive with the Houston Astros. It's because Nolan Wheeler just dominant at the top. But, you know, following that with a bullpen that's as dominant as they have. I mean, Sir Anthony Dominguez was phenomenal last year. He is nasty. Jose Alvarado, another pitcher who's nasty, has a crazy sinker baller. Craig Kimbrough, like we mentioned, you know, does he bounce back? Gregory Soto, I loved Soto last year. I think he was, you know, one of the top arms coming out of the bullpens last year. I think he's a dude. He's going to do it. I'm high on this team. I am. I think they have a good chance to run it back and potentially end up in the World Series again.
Yeah, I think I'm a little lower on Soto than you are. The thing with him is that it's funny because he has like awesome spin and his fastball velocity is insane. But he's a guy that really struggles with walks. And when people hit him, they hit him hard. So it's going to be curious. I mean, he's not the closer there. He was the closer in Detroit. But yeah, he's still really, really nasty. It's funny how their bullpen went from being a huge question mark to, yeah, now it's a big strength of ours. So it's hard, even with Bryce Harper probably being out for a couple months, this team still got better. I mean, Trey Turner is just such a massive addition for them. They needed a shortstop. They got the best one on the market. Huge for them. Their win total for this next year, Vegas has it at 88.5. I don't know about you, but I think that's a little low.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, what were we at last year for them? I think they were at 87 and 75 last year. So they're projecting from Vegas, you know, for them to be two games better. So I'm going to go over here. I like this team. I think Trey Turner brings balance. I think when you bring Bryce Harper back for the second half, I think this team is good enough to get it done for the first half. And if Bryce Harper's coming back in the second half, that's just going to help lift them up, you know, in addition to any trades they might make at the deadline. So I'm going to go over with the Phillies here. I think they're a pretty well-rounded team.
I think the Mets loss is probably the Phillies gain. And so I think I'm going to go over too. They're projected to win 86 games according to Fangraphs. And one thing that I think is key to mention is that we are talking about the Phillies and their incredible run in the playoffs. But we do have to remember that they were pretty inconsistent last year. They fired Joe Girardi. Now their new manager, Ryan Thompson, has done a really good job. But still, that inconsistency could still be there. But they're another team that they're all in. They're trying to win it. They got that taste last year. And, you know, when you get close to a title and you don't get it, that just makes you want it even more. I don't think they care. They're like the Mets a little bit. They don't care about the price. They just want a title. I think they're going to be back in it. I mean, I don't know if they'll win the NL East, but I would be shocked if they're not a wild card team. If they aren't, oh boy.
Yeah, no, I think it's a complete team. And, you know, without having the question mark at shortstop, you know, that you have Trey Turner there, you get Bryson Stott some more reps at second base and Alec Bohm over at third base. I think those are two young dudes that are going to be in the league for a while. So yeah, no, I like this team. I think that they have some high potential, but yeah, if they can balance out the inconsistencies, this is going to be a force to be dealt with. So moving on here to the Washington Nationals, another team that's kind of sold a little bit. They've lost all their big names. You know, they got some other young talent that's coming up. I think, you know, unlike the Athletics, I think they made a little bit better trades in getting some higher tier prospects. But this offseason, they added Trevor Williams, Jaimer Candelario, Dom Smith, Corey Dickerson, Chad Kuhl, Alex Colome, Michael Chavis, and Sean Doolittle. They lost Luke Voit, Gerardo Parrar, Nelson Cruz, Cesar Hernandez, and Eric Fred. So nothing that really stands out at me here, but they still got some young talent coming up. I think maybe in a few years, you know, depending on where this talent ends up, we might see what this team's really made of and see them actually make some moves. But for right now, they're just kind of staying stagnant and to wait and see what they have.
I will say this. I mean, this Nationals lineup and rotation and bullpen, woof, it's not pretty right now. But I do think that this team, unlike other teams, kind of understood, we need to just tear everything down. Juan Soto does not want to stay here. We traded Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. They're gone. Everything from the 2019 season, except for Steven Strasburg, who's hurt, shocker, is gone. We just need to get as much as we can and build towards the future. And look, that Padres trade, was huge for them. They got multiple top 10 prospects in a good farm system. I mean, Mackenzie Gore, CJ Abrams, James Wood, Robert Hassel, those could all be players for them. If not now, in the near future, within a couple years. Those are all really talented players. And then also Keibert Ruiz, they got him in the Dodger trade in 2021. They signed him to an extension, an 8-year deal with up to $50 million. It's a big get. I mean, but you look at this lineup and it's a little rough. I mean, Lane Thomas, Corey Dickerson, Joey Meneses is having great WBC. Jamer Candelario, Keibert Ruiz, Dom Smith, CJ Abrams, Victor Robles, and Luis Garcia. There's some young pieces in that lineup that I like, but man, there's just nobody there that you're like, yeah, this is a lineup that's just top to bottom stacked. There's a guy or two. It's not great.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to make moves too when you got some large contracts out there to Strasburg and Corbin, which have not panned out well for this team. So, you know, some of the younger talent, you know, like Mackenzie Gore, they got a haul of good prospects from the Padres with the Soto trade, you know, with Mackenzie Gore coming over, CJ Abrams. You saw CJ Abrams struggle a little bit last year and a little bit of time that he had. Does he kind of pull it together and, you know, become a dude for the Washington Nationals in the future? Joey Meneses is, like you mentioned, a great player. He's pretty new to the league, but he's already at 31 years old. He's going to hit 31 this year. You got a couple of these young talents. I don't see a bright future for him yet, and I don't really see a great year this year. It's pretty dismal right now.
It's pretty bad. The rotation at this point, Corbin, one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball last year. Josiah Gray, arguably their best arm right now. Trevor Williams, they just added for depth. Mackenzie Gore. Look, I mean, I've seen Gore come up through the minor league system with the Padres, and seeing his adjustments and his comeback after a brutal 2021 was really cool last year. And I think there's a lot that he can offer a team. We'll just have to see. I mean, their bullpen. Kyle Finnegan is projected to get about 29 saves. He's not a terrible arm, but he's easily the best they have. The rest is just kind of picking who they can get. It's going to be a tough year in the Capitol.
Yeah, so wrapping up here to go over their over-under. So Vegas has them at 60.5 games. Last year they finished at 55-107, the worst team in the major leagues. What is your take on this over-under this year?
There's not much to say. It's an easy under.
Yeah, I think they're about the same as they are last year. I don't see much for them, and they lost some talent in Luke Voit and Nelson Cruz. Not that Luke Voit added a lot, but there's still some guys.
You show respect to Luke Voit, right? I will not have his name slandered on this podcast.
I love Luke Voit, man. I don't think he got, you know, yanked around a little bit last year, and, you know, being the home run champ of the 2020 season, I'd like to see more for him this year. But yeah, he didn't offer much to the Nationals last year, and, you know, losing the little bit of talent they did have, I think they're under too.
Voit, if you watched them, which I did a little bit, he didn't really seem to care. he was on a team that was headed for the playoffs, and then he got moved to the Nationals because Eric Hosmer said, "No, I don't want to play in DC." So we'll see with Luke Voit. But yeah, clearly an under, and we'll move on. There's not much more to say.
Yeah, that wraps up the NL East.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Diamond Dingers podcast. We appreciate you guys listening. If you want, you can follow us on Twitter at DiamondDingers_. We'll post links to all our episodes there and our thoughts on baseball in general. Like I said, we appreciate you guys listening. Catch you next time.